Hi, David Rhodes. I believe you've got a really interesting story to tell about craft beer in Israel. And coming from Australia, which is one of the biggest beer-drinking nations in the world, we're a bit surprised to know that there is a culture of craft beer. Can you tell us about it?
Sure. Where does one start? I like to start with a quote from Frank Zappa. Frank Zappa once said, you can't be a real country unless you have a beer and an airline, and it helps you if you have some kind of football team or some nuclear weapons, but at the very least, you need a beer. And right now, Israel has about 100 different labels from a couple dozen breweries.
So how did this start?
Well, for the most part, it started with one American, David Cohen. David was into beer in the United States, and in 2006, he launched the Dancing Camel Brewery in downtown Tel Aviv. And, you know, that's about the same time microbreweries were really starting to really hit their peak in the United States, too. I mean, as you know, there's thousands of microbreweries in the United States. So, you know, he brought that love for microbrews to Israel, and since then, you know, it's evolved, you know, dramatically. The great thing about beers is, you know, in contrast to wine, for instance, you can make several batches in a year. So, even from the same beer, when you make your Cabernet Sauvignon, you have your grapes and you make your wine, and then you move on to the next year or different grapes you have in the vineyard. With beer, you can make different batches of the same beer throughout the year. If you have the ingredients and the space, you know, you can make several batches. It only takes a month or two to make a beer. And so it can evolve a lot quicker than the wine industry.
So what sort of flavors and what are they making and what do you like?
Wow. Well, you know, I've got a wide range of appreciation for beers, just like I do with wine. I try to imagine what they're trying to do and judge it based on how well they did it. You know, with commercial beers, and I don't drink many local or international, what might be considered, you know, mass-produced beers anymore since I've gotten into good beers. But with commercial beers, I mean, with microbrews, I like to have a different range of beers I try in an evening. So I might start off with a lighter beer, like a wheat beer, have something a little heavier, maybe a red ale or a stout or porter, and maybe a fruit beer for dessert.
So what's the market for these in Israel? Because you don't normally associate Israel as having a culture of beer drinking, especially craft beers.
Well, I mean, let's look at the history. I mean, beer drinking, you know, goes back thousands of years in the region, just like it does in Germany. It goes back at least 3,000 years. The Code of Hammurabi actually included some beer laws and also for pub laws, in fact. And Jews were in exile in Babylon, so they probably brought some of that beer drinking traditions back with them. And also Egypt is also considered one of the birthplaces of brewing, and they actually controlled the region as well too. So we don't have the archaeological records with beer making here that we do with wine, but it's almost certain that beer was being consumed here thousands of years ago. But it's a hot region. I mean, just like we're a little warmer than Sydney. You're at about 33 degrees latitude, if I remember right, and we're here between 29 and 33 degrees. So it's a little warmer than Australia is here. So we've got like 7 months of summer. So that, you know, even though, you know, people might think of us more as a wine culture, we drink a lot more beer. You know, beer is the third most popular beverage in the world behind water and tea.
Yeah, we know that in Australia.
So, yeah, I'm sure you don't even, you know, have much tea in contrast to the beer in Australia. So, but, you know, with the beer drinking culture here, you know, we've got four big commercial breweries. We've got Gold Star and Maccabee, which are really the two major local labels. And then we have Tuborg and Carlsberg, which are the two biggest licensed imports. A lot of people don't know with beer, for instance, that a lot of beer that's imported isn't actually imported. It's licensed and made locally. Like when I lived in the United States, I lived in Pittsburgh, and Sam Adams is considered a Boston beer, but they used to make Sam Adams in Pittsburgh for the local market. So a lot of you know, and maybe if you're drinking Heineken, for instance, in Australia, they're probably not shipping it, you know, from the Netherlands. It's probably coming in. It's probably being made locally under their basically their ingredients and specifications.
Yeah, that's.
But. You know, I could talk a little more about the different microbreweries here, you know, the range of the great microbreweries here we have. So the Dance at Campbell opened up in 2006, and then we had two breweries from the north, one called Malka, which is Hebrew for queen, and Bezelet from the Golan Heights brewery, the Golan Brewery. And both of those are – one of the things unique about them is they actually use local streams up there to produce the water, because one thing that makes quality beer its quality is basically the water they use. And for instance, Guinness uses hard water, and that supposedly adds to the flavor to Guinness beer. Malka, meaning queen, as I said, is because the word beer in Hebrew is a feminine word. So instead of calling it king, they called it queen. They make a really interesting red ale on occasion. And do you know what makes red ales red?
No, I don't.
Okay. A lot of people stay away from making red ales. They're one of my favorites because they're sort of in between two different styles. They're sort of between an ale and porter. And what you do to make a red ale red is you add just a little roasted barley. If you add too much, you're going to get too much of the dark chocolate and espresso flavors you get with a stout or a porter. And if you add too little, it won't be red. So a lot of breweries stay away from it because – visually, you might not get what you want. You know, you might end up starting to try to make. And it doesn't take much to add the roasted barley. You might put a couple of ounces in of roasted barley in contrast to 7 pounds of regular malt. So it's just a very little amount to actually make it red.
So how did the Israeli? Sorry.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, how did the Israeli craft beers then? How do they compare with some of the beers in the States or like in Australia, for instance?
Okay, well, I'm not too familiar with Australian beers besides Foster's. That's the only beers that you know that's gotten in front of me, and I'm sure people love Foster's, but I'm sure that's not what beer geeks get into. You know, I could talk about the different styles more so than maybe contrast. And Belgian beers are very popular here. In fact, I've had Belgian beers with the Belgian ambassador here three different times, so I like to think of him as a beer buddy. But I love those high alcohol beers because I'm more into wines per se. You know, I write about the 2000 wines in the wine scene here. When I drink a beer, sometimes they taste flat to me. You know, to drink something that's 4 to 5% alcohol, when I'm typically drinking wines that are 13 to 15%, you know, I like drinking a beer sometimes that has 8 to 10%, which a lot of the Belgian style beers here. And we do have some Israeli ones that do that. Gems, which was the second American who came to Israel, Jeremy Weltfeld, he makes an 8.8, what they call shmoni v'shmoni in Hebrew, and that typically has about 8.8% alcohol, which is almost twice as much as a typical beer. And drinking beer here is very expensive compared to other alcohols. So when you go out to a restaurant, getting twice the alcohol is a good investment for you know, a dollar or two more.
So is it mainly men drinking it or women drinking it too?
I'm not sure. You could tell me internationally, you know, from an Australian perspective. There are definitely women who drink beer. But I think beer tends to be more of a guy's drink and wine tends to be more of a woman's drink, although you definitely have people who drink both. I turned my mom on to beer the last time she was here in Israel. The trip before, I turned her on to better wines. I think there are a lot of beers that women would appreciate more. I don't think they like the bitter, hoppy beers as much as they might like a port or a stouter that has chocolate and espresso flavors and some of the fruitier beers. I'm not saying they're more effeminate necessarily. I just think the bitter beers just don't appeal to maybe a feminine palate in general. I mean, that's a gross generalization. I don't want to come off being you know, sexist, you know, but that's just what I see out there. I mean, sometimes, for instance, I like fruity beers, and the bartender will tell me I'm having a girly beer, Like, are you familiar with Castile from Belgium? It's a cherry flavor, cherry infused beer from Belgium. It's got 8% alcohol, and I don't know how anyone calls a beer with 8% alcohol a girly beer, but it's just the perceptions people have because it's fruity.
Okay, David, we'll leave you to go and have a beer, and thank you very much for joining us today.
All right, well, tomorrow is Israeli Independence Day, so I'm going to have more than one, if that's okay with you.
Well, in Australia, we have these fantastic craft beers. There's Mountain Goat and Little Creatures, which are really popular here, so I'll try one of those.
Well, great, and hopefully we can get a shipment of our beers over there and maybe get a I don't think there's any Australian craft beers here yet, so maybe we can talk to some people and trade back and forth.
That'd be great. Thank you very much.